Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte, and joining me are my brother seminarians, P.J. Brandomarty from the Diocese of Columbus, and Britt Taylor, also from the Diocese of Charlotte. Welcome, guys.
Hola.
Hey, Alfonso.
How's it going?
Doing well. So before we begin, Britt, could you start us off with a prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of this day. We ask you to always remind us that our true pleasures comes from you and you alone. We ask that you remind us of this every day. And we ask in a special way your mother to be with us today as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Britt.
Mm-hmm.
So, when did we have fall break? I don't remember.
A while ago.
It was a while ago.
It was middle of October.
I mean, it's already, yeah, anyways.
You're hearing this in December. We're recording it in November.
So. Yeah. Well, I went to go visit my cousin who now lives in D.C. for fall break. And he is a computer person. Like, he does software design and develops apps and all that stuff. So he's very much into, like, technology and knows the latest stuff about everything. And so one of the gadgets that he showed me when I was at his apartment is this, like, barcode scanner that you carry around with you. And basically it's connected to your Amazon account, and you go around, and if you see anything you like that has a barcode, it doesn't matter if it's at someone's house or, you know, just in a public space, you literally just scan it and then add it to your cart, and then it just, you know, goes directly to you. And so, like, there's this idea of, like, immediate purchasing. And have you guys heard about that? Or?
Oh, yeah. That's been out for years.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. It just goes
so
to show
this
you.
Is going
to
show the difference, because PJ's like, oh, yeah, that's been around for like 27 years. And I'm like, I've never heard of that.
I spent a decade as a retail professional, so I probably know more about that type of thing than the average person. But, yeah, that's been it's one of the key strategies. It's the more time people have to think about a purchase, the less likely they are to make it. That's it's impulse buying.
Yeah.
And
which is dangerous.
It used to be impulse buying is limited to the stuff that they have at the checkout counter, magazines, candy.
Oh, that's right.
Things that are what are called high margin items. So you make a ton of profit on those. Like a dollar candy bar, the store itself is probably making 20 or 30 cents profit, and then the candy company's making a lot more.
Right.
Those are things, they're cheap enough that you just go and buy them.
But, like those lint rollers and all that stuff.
All those stuff. Very, very high margin, very low decision required to get them. But now we live in now that we have phones and we have Amazon, Amazon's wonderful,
right.
But at the same time, it's kind of scary. I have bought stuff and forgotten I bought it until it arrived.
That's crazy.
And I know a lot of people like that, because as a grown man, it was hard to become a seminarian, because I had to stop just buying stuff. Because when I saw something that I wanted, and when I was little, I'd go, oh, I want that for Christmas. And I'd write it down and I'd wait. But then I was an adult with money, with a job. So when I wanted something, I was like, oh, I want that. I'll just buy it. And I had to train myself not to do that. But now it's easier than ever, because, as you say, you can just be walking around, scan something, and it goes into your Amazon cart, and you just hit buy now, and it's on your doorstep 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or even the day of. Like, he also had this, like, I guess Amazon does this thing now where they immediately deliver the day of. So, like, if you do groceries, like, you can just say, I need tomatoes, and then punch it into your Amazon account.
I've done that at the Josephinum.
I've had
stuff delivered there. Yeah, usually when if I'm sick and I just don't feel like running out to CVS, I'll just go to Prime Now, because you can get whatever you want. You want pop? You want chicken noodle soup? You want aspirin? You just put it in your cart and boom, it's right there.
Wow. So what do you think this does to us as a culture, though? Like, is this good or
it can be good, but this instant gratification I think at best it can be morally neutral, at best neutral, but I think in most cases it's not a good thing.
Right.
Well, it's also destroying all human interaction where,
yeah.
I mean, because it used to be you would go to a store and you would have to interact with at least the cashier, or if you can't find it in these mega stores, you have to talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just simple do-do-do on your phone, and then it gets delivered straight to your house, where what PJ was saying, I'm sick, let me get this delivered, and I just go down to the mailroom, and all of a sudden there's Benadryl or something has been delivered to my room, and I didn't have to leave the comfort of my house or talk to anyone, right. And I got exactly what I needed, which human beings are communal and social beings. We need to talk to people.
It's depersonalizing.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember when they started to let you order pizza online. It was like, for me, the greatest thing ever, because I always hated calling and ordering for pizza.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But phone conversations are weird, because, I mean, we're very much a texting generation.
That's true.
And to actually talk to someone on a phone who's under the age of 50 is like, dude, you know I have text, right?
Now, I still follow the retail news just because it interests me personally. What most are saying about this is we're not destroying the human interaction, we're just transferring it. So it used to be you would go to the store, you'd interact with people at the store, and then you'd go home. Now you're ordering at home, and then somebody's delivering it to your door.
Because I talk to my mailman every day.
Exactly, which is, I think that's a cop-out, because for the most part, the people who are doing this, it is true. It's there's a little bit of a hysteria that the jobs are being destroyed. They're really not being destroyed. They are being transferred.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there are going to be a lot less of them. And to Britt's point, the human interaction is definitely going to be a lot less, because the people who are making a delivery, chances are they're making a ton of them. They're going to hand you stuff. You're mm-hmm. going to put your thumbprint, or you're going to sign something, and then they're going to walk away. And it's that can be a very dangerous thing, because we are social beings. And if there's one thing I think that most people would agree with this statement. The one thing we've learned from social media is that it's probably caused more harm than good when it comes to human interaction.
Mm. Absolutely.
Well, I think one of this thing that we can observe from like this instant gratification or this instant ordering and getting what you want, just kind of is evident of like a consumeristic culture. What do you guys say? Like that kind of idea that, you know, just you're just consuming and you're consuming and you're just, you want something and therefore you get it almost immediately.
Yeah, and that's one of the, that's a uniquely American, Western European issue that the church deals with,
mm-hmm.
because we have become, for better or for worse, the world's market.
Right.
Where the rest of the world makes products and we consume them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's certainly
with moderation.
With moderation,
right.
But it's certainly something that's very easy to be abused,
mm-hmm.
because we don't see where things are coming from, and while it can easily go off the rails,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's something the Holy Father has been really concerned with. You know, he's really trying to address you know, issues of ecology, social issues. And he sees them kind of rooted in this idea of consumeristic. And he uses this word a lot. He uses narcissism a lot in his writings. I don't know if you guys read the book, The Name of God is Mercy. He talks a lot about narcissism and spiritual narcissism. And I think in a consumeristic mindset, there is this narcissistic mentality where it's like you put your desires and your immediate gratification before anything else. And I feel like sometimes that's manifested in things like Black Friday, you know, where you're trying to get in the door to get that.
People get trampled and they literally die to get a TV at like $20 off or something.
Because someone feels like they need that. And so they put that value of their need over the value of even someone else's life.
I mean,
those poor workers that have to, I would never want to open the door of any of these retail stores on Black Friday.
I was a manager at Circuit City for 2 years during Black Friday. Black Friday was, at the time I was working it, I was actually okay with it because it's so dehumanizing, mm-hmm. that no one's looking at you. No one cares.
Mm.
It made it a lot easier for me to execute the basic functions of my job. Making sure that everything was stocked, making sure that people were moving through the lines, making sure that the store was making money. But reflecting on it, it was so dehumanizing because no one is looking at you. No one cares about what you have to say. Most people who work in sales, they work in sales because they like interacting with people. Mm-hmm. They like that was one of my favorite things when I was working at Motorola, going out and seeing people and telling them how great these products are and why I personally think that this is the product for you based on what you've told me, and having that human interaction and essentially forming into making a friendship as brief as that friendship would last so that I can get them what they need. But on Black Friday, it's terrible. It's very dehumanizing. Looking back on it, I almost had to call the police. This is back when the Wii came out because people were rioting. They backed me into a corner, and I'm a big guy, and to see about 40 people back me into a corner was not pleasant.
So. All short old ladies, right? Okay, you're listening to the Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte, and joining me are my classmates, Britt Taylor, also from the Diocese of Charlotte, and PJ Brandomarty from the Diocese of Columbus. And we're talking about the cultural vice of consumerism. And so I think one of the things that, you know, that the culture is kind of like struggling with is too focused on their sense appetites, you know, just like like living off of their senses, just like just being attached to good feelings, to good, to pleasure, and not really using their reason in all this, because they think this can bring me good, therefore I should do it, and not really thinking about like what are the moral consequences of all this, or you know, what's the greatest outcome. Like, what's the greater good here? You know what I mean?
Right. Which, and that goes back to the narcissism that Pope Francis has been talking about, and you were intimated at earlier, where it's just all about me, me, me. Mm-hmm. And if I can gratify myself and my own desires, then everything's all great and good in the world, mm-hmm. which really is very contrary when you step back and look at it from really just the theological point of view that the world is not about our own gratification. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's about glorifying God through our lives.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we were talking about Black Friday and PJ getting cornered and getting, I think he said, prison shanked by a grandma or something.
Multiple grandmas.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know how that really glorifies God.
No, yeah.
Those actions. Yeah. So
I think Saint Augustine has a really great line in his confessions about this. He talks about being enslaved by his passions, of being enslaved by, you know, his desire for pleasure. And he says he sought the good, and he sought the good in the things that God created, meaning, you know, just regular objects. But in reality, what he was looking for was God. And so I think people, the culture, you know, being human and being made in the image and likeness of God, they desire goods, but they just get stuck on these like smaller goods. And they think that this is what's going to bring them ultimate happiness, mm-hmm. and not the whole grand scheme of things, which is God himself. And, you know, in a secular world where, you know, God's just taken out of the picture, then of course everything becomes an idol. Every object, every idea, it takes the place of God. And of course we have things like, you know, Black Friday and crazy Christmas
Isn't
grandmas.
Isn't there like a cyber one now?
There's Black cyber Friday, Monday. There's Cyber Monday, which is, I mean, we're sitting here. I'm writing notes on my iPad here, which is humorous in and of itself when we're talking about consumerism. Here I am with my iPad. And I get an email, and it's literally just came through. Best Buy is talking about its Black Friday sales, which start now. Mm-hmm. So we're, what's today, November 16th?
Yeah.
So this is a week before, more than a week before the actual Black Friday, mm-hmm. and they're already advertising the stuff now. So,
Well, and don't the stores now open on like Thanksgiving Day at like 6 p.m. or something?
So they keep going back and forth because every year they try to do that. But yeah, a lot of them do. And people get mad, so some of them close, and then people get mad because they're closed, so they open again the next year. It just goes back and forth.
Well, and then, so putting in this perspective, I remember Black Friday, back when I was in high school, and my parents would, or my brothers were really big into it, and my mom, of course, would go. They didn't have a car when they're 15 years old. They couldn't drive anywhere. But you're waking up like 2-3 in the morning to go stand in line for this TV or Xbox or something. And, I mean, we complain, us seminarians complain, that we have morning prayer at 6:45.
Right.
So, when you really look at it, it's a really interesting dynamic where one day, or this one day of the year, we're willing to wake up at 2 a.m., get 2 hours of sleep to go get a TV, but we're not willing to, or it's a struggle for us at times to wake up and go,
it's like, tell me
praise
where you,
the Lord.
Tell me where your treasure is.
Exactly,
I'll tell me where your heart is.
That is one thing that I'm very, very proud to say. I did not know what Black Friday was until I started in retail. My family never practiced that. Thanksgiving was, we go to Mass, we come home, we have our food, big Italian meal mixed with the big American meal. And then Friday was...
Is that like ravioli with cheeseburgers? Like, what is...
Well, no, we had the turkey and everything, but, you know, we'd have... We always had ham, and every once in a while there'd be a lasagna or something. don't make fun of me. My heritage.
What's okay? My Thanksgiving consists of tamales and other Mexican cuisine, so...
I'm just gonna hold the jokes. There's too many.
So, I appreciate it.
Glossing over that, moving on.
Okay, so PJ, you just talked about... I mean, PJ, you have your iPad, I have my iPhone, and everyone knows that I take notes on my computer, like... Except in Dr. Ignatic's class.
And everyone thinks I take notes on my computer.
That emphasizes a point I'm going to try to make. That, like, things are not evil in of themselves.
No,
it's
not
like,
at all.
It's like how we use them, you know? And so, like, if we turn something into an idol, if we, like, oh, the new iPhone that comes out, it's like all my energy is focused on getting this new iPhone for the sake of just having the new iPhone, then that's problematic. But if you're using something like your iPad right now and taking these diligent notes, I think that's, you know, it's using it for the glory of God. You know, like we're using equipment right now.
Right. Without technology, we wouldn't be able to reach all the people in Ohio and then everyone on the internet. We wouldn't be able to do that.
Exactly.
And this brings up an important point, and it's one that I've consistently run into since I've really come into the structure of the church, and like the organization of the church itself. I think there's an attitude out there that if things are expensive or things are nice, like for example, Apple, I mean, they're very expensive devices. Their computers are, everything they have is expensive. Mm-hmm. In my experience though, they're very good. And this is just an example, but I think we need to, if you're going to spend money, spend it well. And there's nothing wrong with spending money. And there's nothing wrong with spending money on something expensive if it's something that you're going to use, it's going to serve you well, and it's going to fulfill your needs. Mm-hmm. It's actually more, in my view, it's more responsible. Let's say you need to go buy a projector for one of the classrooms.
Right.
It's more responsible to spend $5,000 on a very good projector that's going to last a very long time. Mm-hmm. Versus spending $3,000 on a projector that's going to break after a year or two.
Right.
You're being more judicious with your money, the resources God's given you. So it's...
Because it's compatible with that greater goal of what you're trying
exactly,
to do.
Exactly,
mission.
Yeah. It's keeping that mission in mind. And just because something's nice doesn't make it bad.
Right.
Just because something is considered a luxury doesn't make it bad either. It's all about suborning it to...
A greater good.
The greater good. Mm-hmm. What is your actual need? Are you doing this because you're fulfilling an actual need? Mm-hmm. And even with our desires, are we fulfilling that desire properly?
Right.
I mean, going out to buy something just to buy it is almost certainly never a good idea. Mm-hmm. But if you're going out to buy something and it happens to be expensive, then spend the money and make sure it's a good product and make sure it's something that's going to serve you for a long time.
Well, and also you have to think about, too, the other responsibilities you might have. That example with this projector, $5,000 versus $3,000, it's responsible for us because, I mean, we don't have other things to take care of. But someone going out who's got a family of five who goes out and spends $20,000 on a TV and now their kids are eating crackers for dinner rather than actually having a meal, you have to find that balance. And that's where it gets back to that egotism and really it's all about me. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying this TV and my kids or someone's going to suffer because I wanted my gratification.
That brings up a very important moral issue that I ran into. I won't say where it was, but there was a point where
The products I was selling were so outrageous. They were outrageously priced. They couldn't do anything better than a comparably than one of our competitors' products for a lot less. And I really, this is one of the turning points that really started leading me back into practicing the faith actively, was how can I justify working for this company that solely makes luxuries? Everything that we make is made at an equal quality for less money by somebody else. And all we're doing is selling these luxurious products to people who don't need them. It's still a question that I ask myself every once in a while, but that was one of the turning points, was for me personally, was realizing that I am contributing to this consumeristic society that is wasting resources, because right. I'm not making any more money, because the only people who are, it's just people who have obscene amounts of money going back and forth, spending it, making it. And everybody else is put off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
So
a really great distinction, PJ, that I think you were articulating just a moment ago, is the distinction between consumerism and stewardship. You know, mm-hmm. like really, really using the gifts and the your resources that you have for a greater good. While consumerism, that's stewardship properly. While consumerism is more just using it for yourself and just consuming the goods and resources you have just for your own sake. So I think that's definitely something, you know, again, to reiterate that having resources and having good things are not bad in of themselves, but you can use them for a greater good. You can use them to glorify God. And that's exactly how God wants us to use our gifts and our resources, mm-hmm. And not just use them for our own, you know, self-gratification, because then that's not only destructive of others, but that's destructive of ourselves. And I also think there's like this harmony that's reestablished with creation, with yourself, and with God when you practice this stewardship, because you use everything. You're not being used by things, but you're using things properly.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that order is reestablished. I think that's...
Which is interesting, because when you look at the catechism and you talk about original sin, there's the threefold alienation that man experiences about this. And it's alienation from creation, alienation from... Mm-hmm. self, and alienation from others. And it's, I mean, really, you're talking about, it's modeled perfectly in what we're talking about now,
mm-hmm.
where you're focusing not on any of the other things that God's calling us to really go out of ourselves and focus on. It's just all interior and inwardly focused.
No, that's a really great point. I really enjoy that part of the catechism. And to illuminate that, there's this really great paragraph from Laudato Si, the encyclical from the Holy Father. He says, "The current global situation engenders a feeling of instability and uncertainty, which in turn becomes a seedbed for collective selfishness. When people become self-centered and self-enclosed, their greed increases. The emptier a person's heart is, the more he or she needs things to buy, own, and consume. It becomes almost impossible to accept the limits imposed by reality. In this horizon, a genuine sense of common good also disappears. As these attitudes become more widespread, social norms are respected only to the extent that they do not clash with personal needs. So our concern cannot be limited merely to the threats of extreme weather events, but most also extend to the catastrophic consequences of social unrest. Obsession with a consumerist lifestyle, above all when few people are capable of maintaining it, can only lead to violence and mutual destruction." And that's just, I mean, that's basically saying what you said about that if you are living for yourself, there's just this chaos and disorder with yourself, with creation, and with God. But mm-hmm. if you address reality, if you have a relationship with reality, with nature, with yourself, and with God, then there's this harmony that's reestablished. And that's essentially what we're trying to do in the life of grace.
And we see that over and over and over again in our society. I really think is the core issue, is we live solely for ourselves. What can you even families, they live for their husbands, living for themselves, wives living for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would just start loving each other and living for each other,
right,
even just a little bit,
right,
that would almost all of the problems in the world could be solved very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mother Teresa, she talked about, you know, she said in America there was this great poverty, and it was not material poverty, but spiritual poverty, like this loneliness. And she said a lot of people would come to her and say, "Mother, I want to go help you out in Calcutta." And she would tell them, "Well, Calcutta is in your home. You know, you have your own Calcutta there." Mm-hmm. And that there is someone in your family that is extremely impoverished, and that you can satisfy their hunger with your love. And so, you know, we don't have to go out and do extreme things.
Somebody once asked, an atheist friend of mine said, how can he was specifically referencing the scripture verse where our Lord is talking about how it's easier for the rich man to pass through the eye of
the camel.
It's easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to get into heaven. He said, how can anybody in America ever get into heaven? Mm-hmm. I really think that God knows what he's doing, and there's a reason that you're all here, but we all have challenges, and I think it's harder for us because we have so much to deal with the problems of that than it can be for others who have so little, because there's no barrier between them and God.
So to all of our listeners, we just want to invite you, if you want to experience the joy and happiness of our Lord, to give of yourself and to offer everything for the glory of God. And now to close off, if PJ, you can offer us a prayer.
Indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty, all-powerful, and ever-living God, as we come to you so close to when your Son came to us, we ask you to bless us, fill our lives with your grace, and allow us always to see that no matter what we have, all of it is from you, all of it is for you, and all of it will return to you. We ask this in your most holy name, O Lord. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear the show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thank you and God bless.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.